Welcome to The Point. I'm Sean Corcoran, and it's our weekly news roundup when we discuss some of the top news stories of the week with my colleagues in the print and digital media. Joining me here in our Woods Hole studio is George Brennan. He's a reporter at the Cape Cod Times and Cape Cod Online. Hi, George.
Good morning, Sean.
And joining us a little later will be Tim Wood, the editor of the Cape Cod Chronicle. Both of our islands will be represented today with Joshua Ballin calling in from the Nantucket Inquirer and Mirror, and we'll hear from Nelson Siegelman, the managing editor at the Martha's Vineyard Times. George, let's start off with the storm we had this week. I guess it was predicted, but I didn't really know it was coming, and it was kind of bad timing the way the whole thing worked out.
Well, it was predicted, but I think the snowfall was a little more than what was predicted for the Cape and Islands.
Right.
And it came at that time of day where schools are going into session and people are commuting to their jobs. And we're told by DPW officials across the Cape that that's what caused many of the problems. They're out there trying to plow at the same time school buses are out there trying to pick up kids, and parents are trying to get their kids to school, and people are trying to get to work.
I know some of the superintendents got some heat from parents who were upset.
That's right. They have to make this decision fairly early. Best case scenario, they make the decision the night before. But in this case, the forecast wasn't such where they would make that kind of decision the night before. They get up early. A couple of the superintendents told us they talk to each other, and they talk to the DPWs in their town and public safety around 5 a.m. And the look at the time was, we don't need to call off school or delay school. And it turned out they probably did. And in fact, I heard from my own kids anecdotally, I got them to school on time that morning. Mm-hmm. We don't live very far from the schools. But my son was in a class by himself for 45 minutes with a teacher. They actually did the Pledge of Allegiance by themselves.
Wow. There were scattered accidents. That was basically the result. We didn't hear of any problems with school buses, really, or any accidents.
No, there weren't any.
It worked out okay.
There weren't any accidents. It just delayed kids getting to school, getting into the classrooms, that type of thing. The superintendent did respond that day to try and clarify to parents why she made the decision here in Falmouth. She sent out one of those alerts by phone, and they also follow up with an email. And she says to our reporter, it's one of the most difficult decisions that a superintendent has to make, that call of whether to delay school, call off school, or go forward.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And guess what? Next week, the extended forecast is for a major storm in the middle of the week. We'll have to wait and see. It's still early, but
you're filled with good news today, George. Tell us about this bathroom birth that happened during the storm. It was really kind of a nice story.
This is an interesting story because we're in the age of social media. So this pregnant woman tells her mother that it's time in a Facebook message, and that starts the ball rolling with people coming in. She needs a babysitter because she has a couple of other kids, and so her sister's on her way from another part of the Cape, but sends a neighbor over, just, you know, keep an eye on it till I get there, keep an eye on the kids. And when the neighbor goes over, and the neighbor is an experienced dispatcher on the Cape, she goes over and she says, oh, no, it's too late. You can't get into a car at this point. And right then and there, she says, you have to lay down on the floor. This baby is coming. And she helps this woman give birth.
And then I love at the very end, you find out that not to reward, but to acknowledge this woman's participation in the birth, they made her a godmother.
That's right. By the way, we should mention this is the day of the storm. So the husband is out and the father is out. He's out plowing. So that's why he's not there to help out. And I mean, isn't that the wonderful thing about childbirth is you can predict all sorts of different things. Even these days, you can know the sex of your baby before the baby is born. But you do not know when that moment is coming. I mean, it's happened to all of us that are parents. There's all of a sudden you're rushing to the hospital.
Right.
And hope you get there in time.
Let's move the conversation out to Provincetown. We've been talking about the problems in Provincetown for a few months now. This week, the news is that under pressure, the Provincetown selectman Austin Knight has stepped down. He got embroiled in this whole controversy over the police chief in the police department, right?
That's right. He, Austin Knight, says he's resigning for personal reasons. This resignation is going to take effect at 5 p.m., the day before the town's annual election. The thinking there is that they don't have to hold a special election to replace him. They'll be able to put him on the ballot, or his position on the ballot. So there'll be three positions. But it also comes at a time where a recall effort had been underway for in Provincetown. They had already reported that they had enough signatures. They filed the petition. The town clerk had not yet certified all the signatures, but the writing appeared to be on the wall that there was going to be a recall election. This makes that moot. They won't have to hold a recall election anymore. And he's not pinning it exactly on the controversy that was there. But there were a lot of people in Provincetown that were upset. They felt as if Knight knew that the police chief was having police officers lobby for him to be reelected in the last election.
Right. An investigation by an outside investigator found that the police chief did indeed have an officer go get signs from Selectman Knight's home and bring them to the station, assumably to have them be distributed by the officers themselves.
Right. And Knight himself denies this.
Yes.
But the outside investigator says he believes that Knight knew about this. So the evidence was mounting. It certainly, people in Provincetown had rallied. There were a number of signatures on these petitions that were put forth. And but again, he's not pinning this resignation on that. He's saying his mother is sick and he wants to go be with her. And so he is stepping down, and there'll be three people on the Provincetown ballot. So it's a five-member board. Could be a big swing in the leadership of the Provincetown board.
Well, the Provincetown residents have been saying they've had issues with the department and different – just the feel of the community right now, I guess, is not the best. So there's an effort to try to improve things. They're bringing people in to try to spark some conversation.
That's right. They're putting together a 15-member committee, and this 15-member committee is going to look at all different types of controversies that have come up in Provincetown. And the hope, really, of this putting together this committee is to change the climate and to improve the trust in Provincetown and restore the trust.
The Cape Cod Times did some investigating into what was going on with all the work on the Sagamore Bridge and why there's been traffic jams when they're not typically anticipated on weekends and on holidays. This is typically the time when we can get on and off Cape Cod fairly easily, but there's quite a bit of construction going on, and what the story indicated is there's been construction going on for years, and it doesn't look like it's going to end anytime soon.
That's right. Casey Myers wrote this story, and a great lead by Casey Myers this week, where she says, you know, if you could ignore the plunging temperatures outside, you'd think it was July looking at the traffic on the bridge. The traffic had backed up past Exit 2 going off the Cape. And this is all tied into construction. They're painting. They're going to paint the bridge in the spring, and they're preparing for that by putting up scaffolding. And I guess the reason they can't do this work at night is putting up the lights and then taking them down. That they would end up spending all their time doing that because of the bridge doesn't have a breakdown lane. This all goes back to these bridges being very old. They're both 80 years old. They weren't built for the kind of cars we have now. They weren't built for the kind of traffic that Cape has. And the Army Corps says they're doing the best they can with what they have. On the other hand, there are Chamber of Commerce people, there are transportation people here on the Cape who are saying, we understand that the bridges are old and that they need to be worked on, but people need some advance notice. What happened in this case, I think 2 days before they went to this expanded schedule of work, they issued a press release 2 days before, and Tom Cahare, who's a regional transportation official, said, look, we need more warning than that. We need, and they had been cooperating. The Army Corps had been cooperating and letting people know more in advance that this work was going to be done, but not in this case. Saturday work they're doing now as well. So people who can avoid the Sagamore Bridge on Saturdays may want to do that as well.
And let's actually, at the end of that story, it brought up the idea of a third bridge again. Another official saying, "Hey, we really do need to look at the possibility of having a third bridge over the canal." Let's talk about the marijuana issue. We're expecting today to hear about who will be getting licenses to open medical marijuana dispensaries. And a story this week in the Cape Cod Times really pointed to some of the different officials who are well-known people who are behind at least one of the efforts here to open a medical marijuana dispensary.
That's right. There are 100 applications for these across the state. They're going to issue licenses for 35 of them. There's six groups on Cape Cod, but one of them is getting a lot of attention, and that's because of the people who are involved, and that's William Delahunt, who's the former congressman for the Cape and Islands. And he's leading a group that's looking to have three of these facilities in Mashpee, Taunton, and Plymouth. I may be the only one who noticed Mashpee and Taunton. Delahunt is also a consultant and a lobbyist for the Mashpee Wampanoag Tribe. And obviously, they're in Mashpee, and they're trying to build a casino in Taunton. I don't know if there's any link there, but it's just an interesting coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's who's supporting Delahunt in this? And one of the people is Mary LeClaire. She's a former county commissioner and treasurer. And then we have Raymond Tomasi, who's with Gosnold. And they were adamant against legalizing medical marijuana. And now they've joined the Delahunt team. And then there are some pretty prominent politicians here on Cape Cod who have also put their support behind it. Still, it's District Attorney Michael O'Keefe and Sheriff James Cummings. And while they both say that they do not support the legalization, it's legal at this point. And so they want to support someone in Delahunt, who they believe will put the law into effect in such a way where, you know, they can trust.
Right. So they trust Delahunt. So they see the writing on the wall. This is going to happen. Might as well get behind someone that we believe will do a good job. I think Mary LeClaire has said she's basically just changed her mind on the issue altogether.
Right. She has. She definitely came out and said, you know, she sees some of the important uses of medical marijuana and how it helps certain people with certain illnesses. But in the case of O'Keefe and Sheriff Cummings, they both came out and said, look, we still don't support this. We don't think it's a good idea, but it's going to be implemented. It ought to be implemented in the right way. And so that's why they've supported.
Do we know if any of these folks are going to be paid by Delahunt or the organization?
They expect to be, yes. Uh-huh. You know, these dispensaries, we had a report some weeks back that indicated that these are going to be quite profitable based on how they've done in California, where it's been legal for a while now. I did want to mention that our reporter today will update this. As soon as we know who has gotten these licenses, we'll have an update on our website. So if you're interested in this topic, keep an eye on CapeCodOnline.com today.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Tim Wood, the editor of the Cape Cod Chronicle, will join us.